Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I want to wish you a happy Memorial Day. I hope it's been a good one for you today. And don't know what you did to celebrate. For a lot of people, unfortunately, it's just a time to cook and eat a lot of food. For some folks, it provides a nice day off from work. For a lot of folks, it's a get-together with family and friends. But for many of us, it is a time to remember with deep appreciation those who have risked and those who have given their lives in the defense of our freedoms. We are blessed to live in this country. And for my Canadian friends who are listening, you're blessed to live where you do as well. If you look at what's going on around the globe and look at what has happened down through history, there are clearly few people in all of history and few people on the earth today who enjoy the tremendous blessings of liberty that we enjoy here in this country. And that is not something that came to us freely. It was purchased with blood. It is not something that has remained our possession freely. It has been defended again and again at the price of great suffering and bloodshed. Now, I don't for a minute pretend that my own country, these United States, is one that is without sin. There are many dark chapters in America's history. There are many things across the generations that have been shameful betrayals of those who trusted in treaties. And I'm not pretending that America has never messed up. We've done a lot of wrong. But I'm very grateful that from the start, those who founded this country did so with an awareness that liberty is a gift from God. It's something that we should cherish and not sacrifice for the sake of security or comfort, because liberty, freedom, is of such great value. Even though it can be abused, even though it is often used as a cloak for evil, it is far better for people to live in freedom than it is for people to live in bondage and be slaves of their government. Now, as a Christian, I'm most concerned about what God says, not just what our government says or our culture says or my feelings might say. My wife is actually related to Patrick Henry, the colonial American who famously said, "Give me liberty or give me death." But is that really a biblical sentiment? Is it really something worth fighting for? A lot of people would suggest that the military service, while it benefits those of us who enjoy these freedoms, is not a legitimate place for Christians to serve, because you might have to resort to violence. You might have to use guns, weapons, physical force in order to defend the liberties of our citizens. And how could a Christian do that when Jesus says, turn the other cheek? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that we're going to look at a few scriptures together that I hope will cause you to appreciate all the more those who have sacrificed themselves. Jesus, speaking of his own sacrifice, said, no greater love exists than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest picture of love, is sacrificial love, being willing to surrender your rights, even your life, in order to save others. But does the Bible allow for a military presence? Look first, if you would, in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, where John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. And we read, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Now, what he was saying is, don't use your position in government to exploit those who have less power. Don't be a crooked tax collector. You can work for the revenue service, you can collect taxes, but you've got to be honest in doing so. But then, verse 14, then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And he replied, get out of the military, become a pacifist. Right? No. He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Wow. Now, clearly, John the Baptist was not somebody who minced words. He was not afraid to tell it like it was. He said to the crowd, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? But when the military asked him, soldiers asked him, what should we do? He said, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Clearly then, God, speaking through the prophet John the Baptist, in calling people to righteous living, doesn't call people to leave the military, doesn't say you can't really follow God and be a soldier. Instead, he says you mustn't use your position to exploit others. You need to be honest, and you need to be content. So, when Jesus interacts with a centurion, a Roman centurion, now get the picture here, this is a fellow who represents a foreign government, a military presence that was unwelcomed by the Jews. This man, this centurion in Luke chapter 7, sent a message to Jesus. The centurion's servant was sick and about to die, verse 2. So in verse 3, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. Now please get that. Here was a soldier, a Roman soldier, part of the occupying force, but he cared about the people in that country, and he was charitable toward them. He loves our nation and has built our synagogue. He was a generous man who invested in providing a place for religious worship, for the study of God's word. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." And the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Again, one of my favorite passages, because Jesus is saying, this man's faith, this centurion's faith, this professional soldier, this high-ranking soldier, his faith is the greatest faith I've seen among the people I've been dealing with. I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Even the Jews weren't displaying that kind of faith. Why? Because this was a faith that recognized not just that Jesus had authority, but that the reason Jesus had authority is because Jesus was under authority. Other people would ask Jesus, "How do you do these miracles?" And Jesus would tell them, "I only do what the Father tells me to do. I say what the Father tells me to say." The reason Jesus was able to do the miracles that he did was because he was living in complete obedience to his heavenly Father. And so here, when this centurion recognizes that Jesus has authority because Jesus is under authority, verse 8, he said, "For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." This man understood how things work. He understood that in order to be in authority, you have to be under authority. And he recognized that Jesus was doing the will of the one who sent him. That is real faith. Not just believing, I believe Jesus can do this for me, but understanding that the reason Jesus was able to do what he did was exactly the reason Jesus gave. He did the will of his Father. So, again, here's a centurion, a professional soldier, and Jesus commends him for his faith and does not say, "But you need to get out of the military. You can't really please God and serve in the military." No, actually, you can. That doesn't mean that everybody's supposed to be in the military. It does mean that it should be an honored position. We should recognize with honor those who put their lives on the line. And folks, if you've ever gone by a military cemetery and seen the row upon row upon row of crosses, you have to realize that there has been tremendous sacrifice. We took our students from the ranch who are going to be graduating this month. We took them to the National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., Arlington National Cemetery. And let me tell you, it was a very sobering sight. It is amazing. Every time I see it, it's a very moving experience, because the fact of the matter is so many people have paid such a great price in order for us to be free. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, Paul says, and this is God speaking through the Apostle Paul, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Folks, that is a sobering message. God tells us, Romans chapter 13, that he is the one, God is the one, who institutes the governing authorities. Now, bear in mind that this was written when Rome was in control of this land. You're talking about a time when a person like Nero, that wicked, demonized emperor, was committing horrible crimes against his own people. A time when Christians were persecuted. How could Paul say, having been a prisoner of Rome, how could Paul say that the governing authorities are instituted by God? Answer, because they are. They are. God is the one who establishes government. Does that mean that everything the government does is right? No, it does not. Paul lays out here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the way it is supposed to be. If the government doesn't operate this way, if the government isn't doing God's bidding, God will deal with it. Herod, you may recall, was a wicked ruler. And he was responsible for the persecution of the early church there in Jerusalem and in Judea. And Herod, who had Jesus' brother, James, killed, and had Peter imprisoned and wanted to have him killed, Herod seemed to be getting away with murder. But he didn't. One day, after he made a speech, the people responded by saying, "It is the voice of a God, not a man." And Herod received that acclaim as his due, and God struck him down dead. He was struck down by the hand of God. Let me tell you something. God's in control. God's on the throne. And if the governing authorities, which are his servants, do not do what they're supposed to do, God will deal with them. Meanwhile, it does not change how we're supposed to respond to government. And one of the statements that Paul makes here that is especially important for those who have questions about the military and even questions about capital punishment, one of the statements that is absolutely vital that you have to deal with is, if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. God the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul, tells us that the government has the authority to punish evildoers, to bring wrath on evildoers, does not bear the sword in vain. It isn't for nothing that the soldier wears a sword. The use of violence and deadly force is sanctioned in God's word, not because it is a light thing, not because executing evildoers should be glorified and celebrated in the sense that we love to see violence. that was one of the characteristics that brought God's judgment on the wicked people in the generation of Noah. They loved violence. And tragically, folks, we live in a time when there are many who enjoy watching gratuitous violence on television, in the movies, etc. That's not what we're talking about here. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's going to make it out of here alive. None of us can think that, you know, if I take care of myself, I'm just going to keep on living hundreds and hundreds of years. It doesn't work that way. But those who defend the lives of the innocent, those who would seek to protect the freedoms that we enjoy here in this country, they should be honored. And those who have sacrificed their lives, who are memorialized on Memorial Day, those folks, certainly, we should appreciate. And one of the ways that we should do that, by the way, is by seeking to take care of their survivors, the spouses, the children, those who are often left behind. One of the ministries that Ware's Valley Ranch has had across the years is working with the children of veterans. We've had a lot of kids in our care, over 200 kids since we started back in 1992. We took our first child. In all those years, we've had a lot of children of veterans in our care. And some of them, their parent had died. In some cases, the parents were simply spending a lot of time serving in other places, and their children needed a place of stability and nurture. Folks, let me tell you, when you deal with those kids, when you see the needs, when you talk to the spouses, you realize what a tremendous sacrifice is being made. And you and I need to be grateful. We need to pray for our military. And we need to realize that no one has ever sacrificed as much for us as Jesus did. Jesus, who never sinned, never did anything wrong, always did his Father's will, took the punishment that you and I deserve. And I would urge you on this Memorial Day, not just to thank those in the military, not just to pray for those in the military, but to offer your life to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm so amazed by what you did for me. I'm so amazed that you would take my place. I want my life to be used by you to bring freedom and liberty, not just in a physical sense, but in the deepest sense. Ask God to take your life and use it to bring freedom to others. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, it is for freedom that Christ has made us free. Therefore, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Folks, he was talking about spiritual bondage. He was talking about bondage to the law. But you and I need to realize freedom, in the physical sense that we enjoy it here, is God's gift also. It is not to be taken lightly. It is not to be abused. Paul says, again, talking about spiritual freedom, do not use your freedom as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You and I should do the same with regard to the political freedoms that we have. It doesn't, my right to free speech doesn't just give me the right to sound off and be a jerk and be an obnoxious person. It gives me the privilege of sharing the gospel, as I'm doing right now. We're able to share the gospel with people here in this country and around the world because there were patriots who were willing to fight and lay down their lives so that we could have these freedoms. God-given freedoms protected by the sacrifice of our soldiers. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let's be sure and give thanks to God. God bless you. Have a good night. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.